T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi again, everyone. I'm 1010 Win Sports Director Mark Renee. This is On the Mark. My guest today is the associate head coach at Quinnipiac University under Baker Dunleavy. He is the former men's head basketball coach at Fordham and Hofstra, a guy I've known, we just figured out, for close to 26 years. And I don't know how that's possible since we're both only 35. Tom Pecora. How are you, my friend? How have you been holding up?
Oh, it's great to hear your voice and see you. Yeah, we're getting old, babe. 25 years since we were at Hofstra there.
Unbelievable.
In our first season, and you sunk your teeth into it, and you were around on a regular basis.
And I'm back now teaching there. I just started Monday teaching sports radio reporting and production, which I think I know something about it. No, you don't have to do that.
Professor, and should I start asking for an extension now?
Yeah.
Knowing that I'll probably be late handling a few papers.
Goodness gracious. Listen, there's an important reason I wanted to have you on, obviously. First of all, how are you and the family holding up in all this Michigas the last 6 months?
Everyone's fine, yeah. We're all doing well, thank God. Everyone's healthy. And look, you know, you just grind and you deal the hand that's dealt you. There's a lot of more serious things going on right now than college basketball. So you want everyone to stay healthy. We get through this. And college basketball, college athletics, and yeah, sports in general, we'll find our way. We always do.
Well, listen, I think the folks who are listening to this podcast know who you are. They also know you to be a fantastic guy, which is why I love talking to you. But for my money, you are one of the best recruiters in the entire country. And if I want to talk to somebody about how the pandemic and the relative lack of high school basketball is affecting kids who are trying to get recruited to go to schools wherever they are, whether it's, you know, a big money program like Duke, or it's a mid-major like Butler, or it's a Quinnipiac in the MAC, I think that you are the best guy that I could reach out to, so I appreciate your time. And I do want to talk first about your history, if you will, as a I've never called you this before, but to me, you are the guard whisperer. Right? You developed Speedy Claxton, Norman Richardson, Lauren Stokes, Antoine Agudio, and Charles Jenkins. Those are just the Hofstra guys. They all went pro. Three of them reached the NBA. And you have a fairly recent recruit who went on and actually got the full treatment, first from you at Fordham, and then from Jay Wright at Villanova, and now is on the Golden State Warriors. I'm talking about Eric Paschal. So you've had some success, I'm saying sarcastically, in the college basketball recruiting world. So I want to know from you, as the top guy recruiting up at Quinnipiac under Baker, how tough has this all been these last several months without being able to see guys play in person?
Well, I think it varies. You know, recruiting is so drastically different depending on the level you're coaching at. You know, I think it's had less of an effect on the big boys. If you're Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Villanova, you know, you're going to get on the phone and kids are going to be dying to come to your school.
Right.
And you see that. You see young men committing to those schools in some cases without having seen campus because of the program, the pedigree of the program, the history, the rich history of the program, the coaches that are there. So it's a different ballgame. And generally, they're recruiting against each other.
Yeah.
You know, Kentucky obviously included in that group as well. So I think it's much different for them. They also have kids on unofficial visits on campus much, much earlier than a lot of mid-major schools might. And those kids are not flirting with the idea of going to a higher level. There is no higher level in those schools I mentioned.
Yeah.
Where we'll be recruiting young guys, and you know, we're trying to bang heads with some A-10 schools being a MAC school. And those kids are saying, well, you know, can I get in the A-10? Well, can I get in the bottom of the Big East? If I have a big summer or spring, or in this case, I think this year's high school season is going to be more powerful than it's been in a long, long time. And you're going to find a lot of kids signing late again, where in the past, the majority of kids are signing early. There may not even be an early signing period this year. They continue to bump our, extend our dead period that we're in now, month to month. I don't think we're going to be let out of the cages, so to speak, until probably around Christmas.
Well, with all
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. This is your show. You go ahead.
I also think that we're recruiting a lot more like football does. You know, and football is a much different breed of cattle. You know, bigger, faster, stronger. What's your four speed in the 40?
Yeah.
What do you bench? What's your vertical? With us, it's a lot more about watching skill sets and who they're competing against. But we find ourselves all watching a ton more film now. And it's much different than getting a feel for a young guy going into, see him on game night, or even better, getting into a practice, seeing the way he carries himself in practice, the way his teammates relate to him, all those little things that separate guys. I think the other thing, too, in mid-major recruiting, and that's why we've had success with guards, you can steal guards. You can get young guys that are, it's a pyramid. There's the seven-footers are at the top of that pyramid. There's very few of them. And you work your way down to the bottom of that pyramid, and that's where you find guys 6'2", or even smaller at times, that bigger schools will pass on. Maybe it's their lack of height, their lack of body strength at the time, maybe their inability to not have one skill of a five skill sets. But then you develop those as your mid-major coach. And then by the time they're juniors and seniors, some of the players you mentioned, Charles Jenkins, Carlos Rivera, Lawrence Stokes, obviously Speedy Claxton and Norm Richardson, by the end, they were as good as the big-time guards we were playing against. And in college, you win with guards. And, you know, we always played three guards. You know, whether we were playing, you want to give numbers, a three or a four-man at that four spot, we were playing two-point guards, you know, Jason Hernandez and Speedy Claxton together at times, with Norman Richardson, who was an NBA two-guard, playing at the three. So numbers kind of go out the window. You just try to get real talented players, and there's a better chance of getting smaller ones. I think that Eric Pascal broke that mold, in my sense. Years ago, Mark, we used to take big guys, encourage them to go to prep school, then redshirt them, and then they would be 20-year-old freshmen, knowing as mid-major, and everybody wasn't transferring. There weren't 900 transfers a year. Yeah. So now, if God forbid you redshirt a kid, you're basically knowing he's going to leave at some point if he turns out to be an all-conference player. But that's how we would develop our bigs, because you generally took them a little bit longer than it would take guards to develop, and you could steal guards. It was really hard to steal big guys. Eric Pascal, Tommy Parada, who you know well was my assistant at Fordham, who was a great player at Fordham, he was the lead recruiter on Eric, and he just did a wonderful job getting in early with Eric. He had a great family structure. His parents, who we're still in touch with, are just wonderful people, great family. And we sold him on the Fordham education, the opportunity to play near home, and we were able to get a big, big-time player. And obviously, he was rookie of the year in the Atlantic 10 the year we had him at Fordham.
Yeah.
And then when he went on to Villanova, he just exploded, competing against that level, and MVP, I think, of the semifinal game his senior year. So the recruiting has changed drastically, and everyone's handling it in different ways. I've talked to a lot of buddies in the business and how they're going about their day-to-day. And, you know, there's some schools right now that have had guys on all summer and they've been working out, and other places more so up here in the Northeast where the guys are just getting there and your workouts are going to be a little bit further behind in the process. But if they move it to January 1 this season, it's going to be a sprint, and it's going to be interesting to see how all of those dynamics fall into place, including recruiting. I think you're going to definitely see fewer kids sign early this year. On the highest level, they still will, but as you move down the food chain to mid-major and low-major programs, there'll be a lot more kids signing late.
It's been a lot tougher for the New York City schools to keep kids at home because they have these big dreams. They want to go play for the big boys, for the Dukes, for the UNCs, even for Syracuse and Michigan and all these places. Do you think the current situation, because they're not traveling around as much, do you think that might help level the playing field for some of the New York City schools?
Well, it might. I think the biggest thing is the world just become a smaller place. You know, we have people so often talk about the influx of Europeans, not only on college basketball, when you look at the NBA, but the United States has become such a smaller place. These kids are so accustomed to traveling all over the country more often, getting back and forth, having friends through social media that are playing at all of these schools. Look, back in the day, Coach Conoseca basically had right of first refusal on most kids. A few would go play for Coach McGuire at North or South Carolina. Later on, to North, always in North Carolina, we'd get a kid or two to Kenny Smith's and such. And then Georgia Tech. You know, Bobby Crimmins was a New York guy who would always come in.
Right.
Jim Boeheim had his people in New York. So there were some select programs. For a while, when Slice was at Pittsburgh, Barry Rorson was just raiding New York and getting all of those kids to go out to Pitt. But New York is still a hot recruiting bed. One of the biggest things that's changed over the last decade is the number of kids leaving early on, freshman, sophomore year, to go to prep schools. So, as we talked about earlier, we're dinosaurs, but we grew up in an era where you wanted to win the city championship and try to be an all-city or an all-county or whatever it might be player. Now that's not as important. These young guys will go to prep school, and they'll go up there and try to win a New England championship in prep school and get recruited from there, even as when they go up as underclassmen, as sophomores or juniors.
All right, I got two more questions for you. You brought him up, Slice, who's my partner on the St. Francis College basketball play-by-play.
Right.
He's my analyst. What made him so good a recruiter? Because he's still, people talk about recruiting, and his name is among the first that comes up.
Yeah, look, in New York, especially when you're dealing with New York kids, no one's more New York than Slice is. And he's genuine. There's no BS about him. And people sometimes, no matter what your walk of life is, they think of a recruiter, whether it be in athletics or if you're a headhunter for a business, as a salesman, and you can't be genuine with people, and you have to be a flimflam man. And that's not the truth at all. It's about connecting with people. It's about being genuine with people and not being a phony. Just be yourself and go in. And some of the relationships I have with players are guys I didn't get. And I still have long-staying. Mike Boynton, head coach at Oklahoma State, recruited the heck out of Mike Boynton out of Bishop Laughlin. It came down to Hofstra, UMass. I was an assistant at Hofstra then for Jay. It was Hofstra, UMass, and South Carolina. And he went to South Carolina. And he and I are still close friends from it. And there's a ton of kids like that. So it's about friendships. It's about relationships. And no one's better than that than Barry Rorson.
All right, last thing. You mentioned Jay Hernandez. And I was going to mention Speedy as an assistant under Joe Mihalik at Hofstra.
Yes.
Both of them, very renowned, especially Jay Hernandez, who's making his way up the NBA tree.
Sure.
Did you have any inkling when you were coaching these guys that they had a coaching future themselves?
Well, Speedy was a pro, so, we used to just laugh at how good he was, and I'd be like, people have no idea. And obviously Larry Brown believed in him and drafted him 20th, so I knew he was going to have, I felt strongly he was going to have a great long NBA career. And he's a very good coach. I mean, I've told the story a lot. Speedy Claxton was a self-made guy. I mean, the first time I saw him play, he was about 5'6" and 110 pounds soaked wet in Hoffman Park in a summer league in Queens. He was, I think, coming out of his freshman year at Christ the King. And he was considered, on the varsity, even going into his junior year, like the fifth best player with Eric Barkley there, Lamar Odom, Kamal McQueen, and Ira Miller. They were big guys. And nobody had a greater work habit. So he's an exceptional coach. And, and I think he'll be the head coach at Hofstra when Joe decides to retire, years from now.
Right.
I also think that Jason came out and got a great job as a pharmaceutical rep and was killing it, was making a lot of money. And he came back to us and said, look, this isn't my passion. I want to get involved and do basketball. Norm Richardson, the same thing. After a 10-year career, a couple years in the NBA and then over in Europe, he's coaching in the G League now. So you follow your passion. And if you're going to be good at whatever you do, as in broadcasting, It has to be something you love, and then you're going to be great at it. And those guys all have very bright futures, and we're really proud of them. We just had a Zoom meeting of that entire 2000 team in the spring.
Nice.
And it was a blast. They're all getting to be middle-aged men, and kids screaming in the background, and a couple of them put on a few pounds. And, like you said, it seems like it was yesterday, but it's just, in that case, it's 20 years ago, that group of kids,
Goes by in a blink.
Yeah, it happens fast.
Goodness. All right, I always say that, you and I get into these discussions, and I'm like, okay, this is the last thing. But I promise, this is absolutely the last thing. You brought up the summer league, and a lot of those summer camps and leagues and the ABCD, what used to be the Nike camp, all of that stuff, none of that happened this year. So how does that impact a recruiter's job trying to get, a bead on who the breakout stars are going to be?
Well, I think a lot of it is what you do, prep work in advance. If I'm at a game and I tell this to young kids when I'm talking to groups at camps or even businesses, you go in, and I may be going in and looking at Johnny Jones, who's a senior part. But while I'm watching that game, I'm watching two juniors, a sophomore, and a freshman. And very often, especially as I recruit New York, and I still do that at Quinnipiac, I'll go into games on Friday, and there's triple headers on Friday in the New York Catholic League, and I'll get there for the second half of the JV game and then watch some of those kids. So you have a base of, class of 21, 22, 23 moving forward. I think the impact this year is much greater on the players, on the young men, because a lot of those kids have gotten a lot better since we've seen them in February, and we didn't see them through the spring and the summer. I think what's going to happen, and if this virus thing and this lockdown drags on, I think next year the prep schools are going to be overwhelmed with kids who want to do a post-grad year and get recruited on and get seen more. So I think that's going to change the dynamic of it. And as I said earlier, I think the spring recruiting period, the spring signing period is going to be very active. It's funny. I work with all these young kids here in Quinnipiac. They're all 35 and younger. And I tell them about the days in recruiting where I used to leave 4th of July barbecues to drive to Pittsburgh because Five Star became a live event on July 5th.
Right.
And then we would be out from July 5th till August 1st. We would basically be out the entire time. And, now it's broken into nice little four-day pockets and all of that. But we might go in that direction, and they may say to us, January 1, you're out, and you have 135 days. Use them as you want till June 1st. And we're going to have to play catch-up in some cases. And what concerns me the most is coaches making decisions quickly and players making knee-jerk decisions to where to go. There's just so many kids transferring now. It's just ridiculous, Yeah. And very often that happens when those two things come into play. So I think the young men out there and the young women, too, that they have to be seen in all sports. They have to take a deep breath, and they have to be patient with this process.
I thank you for your time, my friend. Stay well. Best to the family.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure seeing you, my man.
I'm going to count on seeing you in early January again when you guys play Fairleigh Dickinson down the block from my house.
Are we going there again this year?
Who knows?
I'm going to have to get you up here.
At some point, I'll come. I was up there once upon a time when you guys first started. And that place is a palace that you get to play in.
No, we got great facilities.
Goodness,
it's a big-time
gracious
place. The campus is beautiful, and it's good. Plus, I got a good Italian restaurant, I have a good Irish pub, and I have a great Jewish deli.
All right.
So we got it covered for lunch or dinner.
I'll see you there.
All right, thanks.
Thanks again, my friend. Stay well. That is the great Coach Tom Pecora. I'm Mark Renee, and you're On the Mark.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.